It's a real honour to be with you in this fabulous new facility. Hasn't God blessed you? No, God's not blessed us. God's not blessed. Hasn't God blessed you? God's awesome, isn't he? He loves his children so much. Just quickly before we get into the word this morning, just one thing that God really laid on my heart, we've been working at, we've been writing to the various churches around Blaenau Gwent, and we've begun a thing called Prayer for BG. Okay, because Blaenau Gwent's very long to write. Prayer for BG. Okay? And if we ever take off, then we might give some advice on prayer. We'll call it BG Tips. But for now, it's Prayer for BG, and we write into all the leaders of the various churches. There's a whole lot of churches in Blaenau Gwent. There are a whole lot of churches. Some don't want anything to do with anybody else. Some want everything to do with everybody else. Some share fellowship together and joint services. Others, never the twain shall meet. That's a northern phrase. But my heart is that irrespective of our belief, our doctrine, our traditions, if you're a Christian, you believe in prayer. And it's prayer that changes everything. And so our heart is to call the whole Christian believing society, community across Blaenau Gwent to come together on Whit Weekend. We're not asking everybody to get together in one building. That would almost be impossible. But what we're asking is that, thank you. What we're asking is that churches would take the time on Whit Sunday, that's the 20th of May, to take time out of their service to pray for our county. And when we've got the sign-ups back, we'll begin to circulate just two or three major prayer issues we feel should be dealt with in congregations. And then with that, we're also looking for congregations across Blaenau Gwent to hold prayer events on Saturday the 19th. So something a little bit extra for those who want to show God how serious they are about seeing our nation changed, starting with our locality. I don't know how many of you know that Blaenau Gwent is one of the most economically depressed areas in the nation. Statistically, Wales is 3% behind the UK, and Blaenau Gwent, last check, was 3% behind Wales as an average. If there is anywhere in this nation that needs God's help, it's Blaenau Gwent. And if there's one thing I know about my God, if there is one thing I know, God loves fighting for the downtrodden, for the underdog. The Bible's full of stories of where God comes and he helps those who are in defeat, in oppression, those who are in captivity, and God turns up in abundance every time and does amazing things, and we believe that God is about to do amazing things in Blaenau Gwent, so that Blaenau Gwent will be a name that is spoken across the world, not because of something a man did or something a church did, but because of something God did. So that's Prayer for BG. We have got a Facebook page. You can look it up. That's just the beginning right now. We're waiting for, as I say, all the church leaders across the county to come back and let us know. But that's just a little thing we're trying to do. This morning, has anybody brought a gun to church? You left it at home. Praise God. Because really this morning, my job is to be a postman. Okay? So don't shoot the messenger. But that's my job. I'm a postman. I'm not coming to say something I know. I've just got a message for you from God. And if you've never been in a church and never heard a message from God, then this morning you're in for a real treat, because God has something to say to you. And if you will give him the chance, God wants to speak into your life. And so the verses that God really impressed on me are found in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. And it says this, I'm reading from the New American Standard because it's the closest to modern English. It's an accurate translation. And so it says this, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Aren't you all very good? Look at all these Bibles out.
This is great.
Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know if you know this morning, but there's a God in heaven and he wants to get close to you. It's as simple as that. No clever theology this morning, no fancy phrases, just this simple message from God. I could say it on his behalf this morning. God says, I want to get close to you. Wow. The prophet Jeremiah, he says this. He said, he brings a message and he said, I've loved you. Speaking on behalf of God, he said, I've loved you. My sister, this morning, God says, you need to hear this. I love you. Straight from the throne of grace, God says, I love you. Whatever it is, God's love is enough. God loves you. God says, I love you with an everlasting love. God's love doesn't stop. You know, I don't know about you, but in my former life, honestly, sounds good, doesn't it? My former life, I am a reformed hooligan. In my former life, I had so many destructive relationships. Do you know, on one occasion, in one argument with one partner, I think we went through something like 60 plates and dishes. We were just throwing them at each other across the room. It was a violent volatility. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. It wasn't love. It was just anger, manipulation, control. And God says, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. I don't come and start throwing temper tantrums when I can't get my way. And I don't come and get abusive in relationships because my love is everlasting. It doesn't stop. From the moment you encounter my love just keeps going on and on and on. It's eternal because God is eternal. His love is everlasting. His love just does not stop. Well, that's okay, Pastor Jason, but I read some bits in the Bible. It says about hellfire and damnation and destruction and judgment. And well, yeah, I'm sorry, but even God has a line that he cannot pass. There's going to come a day when those who won't accept God's love, it's going to pain him. It's going to pain him. It's going to hurt God more than it's going to hurt us. To see those he loves lost forever. Because God's desire is that we would hear his voice and that we would come to him, that we would get near him. And what he did in order for that to happen is he sent his own son, Jesus. It's what the Jesus thing's all about. He sent his own son that where we were supposed to get punished for not following God from the word go and from not being born in a right relationship with God. God said, well, how can you fix that? So he sent his son Jesus. And Jesus paid a price. And the Bible tells us this. He says, God demonstrates his love. It's great, isn't it? I tell my wife I love her all the time. She likes that, apparently. Sometimes I forget, and then at the end of the day, I look and I say, oh, by the way, didn't I tell you I love you today? And she just smile. But you know, for all the words, it wouldn't mean anything if I told her I loved her and then I kicked her in the morning. And it wouldn't mean anything if I told her I loved her and then I came in and I shouted abuse at her because she hadn't bought my favorite food for tea. It wouldn't mean anything, would it? And so love has to be proved. So God proves his love in that while we weren't in relationship with God, the Bible says sinners. That means committed wrong, not doing what God asked. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So when God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love, he proves it by sending his own son. That's great, isn't it? And that's not our message this morning. That's just a preamble. Do you like that preamble? It's like a walk in the woods before you get to the park. And as Jeremiah continues to say about God's love, he says this. He said, therefore, because I love you with an everlasting love, I've drawn you. Doesn't mean with a paintbrush and a piece of paper, painted your picture. He said, I've drawn you with cords. God connected something to our hearts and he begins to pull us nearer. Nearer. That great picture this morning. Cords of loving kindness. I don't know if you notice, but every day of the week, God does things in your life, and sometimes you miss them, but God says they're there anyway, and when you're getting frustrated at work, take a breath, because I will show you the loving kindness that I am working for you, because one day I will bless you through this season in which you are walking. God is awesome, and he just draws us nearer and nearer with cords of loving kindness. You know why? God just wants to get close to you. Isn't that wonderful? God wants to be close. Close. It would be really lovely, you know, sometimes I imagine that it would be really nice for me to live in one end of the country and my wife could live in the other, and I'd go and see her once a month. And I'm kidding. When I was courting my wife, she lived 300 miles away. Imagine that. So it was a long distance relationship. Everybody says they don't last. I had to marry her, the only answer. But as we began to get to know each other, as we began to grow in our relationship with each other, our hearts wanted to be together. And that's what God wants for you this morning. God wants for your heart to be close to his heart. He wants for you to be nearer to him than you've ever been before. And you know what's great about this message is, you know, you can come to church this morning, you might never have accepted Jesus, you might never have asked God to forgive you and be your Lord and Savior, you might never have done that this morning, and this message, it can mean the world to you, because God wants you to be close to him. That's it. He did everything so you could be there. But at the same time, you could have been walking with God for 300 years. Is anybody here this morning who's 300 as old as a Christian? No. Okay. Feel like it. Yeah. But you could have been walking with God for years. You could have a deep, passionate relationship with God, and yet the message still applies. God wants to get closer. Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning? God wants to get closer. It's what revivals are all about. I don't know if you ever read about revival. I did some studying. I wrote a book about it. Don't worry, it wasn't very good. But just looking at what happens when people want to get close to God, what God does, it's phenomenal. Because God never, ever fails to meet people who want to get close to him. If you want to get more of God this morning, if you want more of God, you need only ask and take a step forwards, because he's right there in all his power. You need only ask. Come to me. Does God lie? No. Is God's word absolute truth? Yes. I haven't got time this morning to go into all the science of why Genesis is correct, but I could spend 3 days with you. We could have a conversation over coffee. It'd be a long coffee, but I could start to talk to you about why Genesis is more factual than fiction and why God's word really is truth. There's evidence. But this morning, I've not come to talk about creation or any other thing. I've just come to tell you God wants to be close to you, and that's all I have to say. I want you to think about it like this, because there's some things God wants to do this morning. And so I want to tell you that there was a man, and his name was Abraham, and he loved God, and he listened to God. And because he loved God and he listened to God, God asked him to go certain places and do certain things. And Abraham did what he was asked, and he went where he was sent. And because he did that, God began to do amazing things in the man's life. And he didn't just bless Abraham, but he blessed Abraham's family. He didn't just bless Abraham's family, but he blessed Abraham's descendants, and he did it all. Why? Because Abraham wanted to be close with God, and whenever God asked him to do something, he just said yes. And he didn't just say yes, but he actually did it. Because the huge difference, isn't there? You know, be saying, yeah, I'll join in, Pastor. Oh, yeah, I'll do it. And then, you know, when we come to do something, then we're not here. And then our yes is worth nothing. But Abraham said yes, and he did what he said, and God turned up amazing things in his life. Am I killing the battery this morning? Okay. But better than that, I was thinking about Moses. Isn't anybody know the story of Moses this morning? If you don't, it's okay. So Moses, he was, let me get this right, 70. Congratulations. Another 10 years. Okay, you'd be the same age as Moses when he really started to do things with God. There's something about maturity in God. There's something about maturity in life. God can really start doing things because we become settled. We become understanding of life. We lose our ambitions and we're just settled and ready for God to do whatever. Moses was 80. God says, Moses, I want you to come closer. I want you to come closer. And I'm speaking of a particular moment when Moses was called to come up a mountain. And he went up a mountain to get close with God. And you know, there are still religious traditions in the Hebrew faith. In Judaism, because of the way God affected Moses when he got that close. It's remarkable what God does with our lives when we get close to him. See, the challenge so often is, as believers, we have all these ideas. We read these books and we think, yeah, God's going to do Tommy Tenney thing for me. I don't know how many people have read Tommy Tenney's God Chasers. It's a great, encouraging book. I've never read a book like it where the Holy Spirit kept jumping out of the page as I read. I was so excited. But God says, Jason, that was Tommy Tenney's experience. I've got a different experience for you. Praise God. And all God wants is that we get closer to him, that we put more of our lives to one side and make more room for him. Because the challenge God has in the church in the UK today is we can all find an hour on a Sunday, but God wants to be with us 7 days a week. And he doesn't just want to be a passenger in the back. I was thinking of it like this morning. God said to me this morning, take my car to the garage sometimes. Usually costs money. Don't like that. It's always a cost. Took my car to the garage. And it'd be like me going to the mechanic in the garage and saying, my car's broke, okay? So I brought it to you, but don't touch the engine. The engine's mine, okay? Yeah, you look after the wheels, and I'll look after the engine. And sometimes we do that with God without even realizing it. We go to God and we say, God, you can have this area of my life, my spiritual area, but Lord, when it comes to this bit of my life, my career, or my ambition for my children, or my ideas about what my ministry, even this amazes me, the number of people who come to God and they start telling God what their ministry is. God, this is what I'm going to do for you. These are my terms. Now take it or leave it. But God says, get rid of that. Because I want you to come near to me. And he describes it like this. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, a yoke in Jesus' day, you only used a yoke really to kind of strap oxen together or maybe to carry milk. You know, you put the yoke on your shoulders, you carry a burden. So a yoke has to do with work. It has to do with what we're doing. And Jesus' words in Matthew, I take my yoke upon you. In other words, don't try telling God what you're going to do for him. Try listening to God and hear what he wants you to do. Because if you try and do things that you think, your life will get miserable. There will be problems. There will be challenges. There will be troubles. There will be nothing but heartache and pain. But the moment that you start listening to God, start leaning on God, start hearing and trusting his leading, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And I've got to tell you today, and I've traveled enough, and I've got enough friends in the ministry to know that there are so many Christian believers who are making their lives difficult because they're just not letting go and letting God. And when we let go and let God, there's peace, there's a blessing. There's an experience of supernatural power and nearness that cannot come if we come with our hands full and our minds full of agendas, but can only come when we come to God open-hearted, empty-handed. Here I am. Here I am. And that's what God looks for. Here I am. Think about a little boy being given to God. Imagine that. Would you give your son to God? In the Apostolic Church, we used to have a practice. Sometimes people ask, we still do it for very devoted Christians. We have a practice where people bring their babies and they do this thing called dedication. It's not the same as blessing babies. It's dedication. God, this child is yours and we dedicate this child to you. But I've rarely seen anybody keep that promise. It's a great thing to do in a church service, but do I mean it? God, that child's yours, not mine. The way I will handle the child, the way I will discipline the child, the way I will teach the child, God, it's all going to be according to your agenda, not mine. That's scary, isn't it? Whew. And yet Samuel, his mother was so desperate when she finally had him, she gave him. She gave him to God. She didn't just give him in theory. He actually went to live with the priest. Imagine that. Imagine having a child given away. Wow. We're giving away for God. And do you know what God wanted to do with this child who'd been given to him? Do you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to get close to him. He wanted to get near him. So he began to speak to him. Samuel could hear him with his ears. It was like someone was speaking in the room. And three times he runs off to the priest that he was with, Eli, and he says, yeah, what do you want? And in the end, Eli kind of, oh, I've got it. Samuel, God's speaking to you. God's speaking to you. Next time he speaks, ask him what he wants. Tell him you hear him and ask him what he wants. That's a word for someone here this morning. I can't quite see who it is. But God says, next time God speaks to you, just be still
and ask him what he wants. Because God wants to get close to his people, to believers. And what that looks like for each one of us is very different. You know, life's so hard. It's full of disappointments and hurts and heartaches and problems. And life's full of loneliness and troubles and frustrations and anxieties, hopes and dreams that never quite come true. And, you know, life so often can feel like the whole world is set up against us. At least that's the way I hear it from most people who live in this locality. Isn't it about time you let go and let God? Give over completely your life to Jesus. And he won't stop the problems, but he'll stand with you in the problems, and he'll bring you through the problems and the issues and the challenges of life, and he will make you a bigger, bolder, better person in him than you could ever be without him. And so when God says, come to me, it's not because God wants you to become a religious fanatic. When God says, come to me, it's not because he's a spoiled sport and he wants you to stop having fun on a weekend and watch your favorite movie and then come on a Sunday and think, oh, I shouldn't have watched that. And, you know, it's not because he wants to stop you from having a cuddle at the back of the disco on a Saturday night. Let's just leave it there. I know we live in the 21st century. I'm a man of the world. I know what goes on. But it's not that God wants to spoil our lives and ruin our pleasure and somehow make us more miserable. But actually what God wants to do, he wants to fix our lives. And he wants to heal our lives. And he wants to fill our lives full of joy and full of such a sense of his nearness and his comfort and his peace. There's something about being close to God that gives a sense of certainty and calm that passes all understanding. And you can't explain it. You can't explain why you know it's going to be okay. It's just going to be okay. And you can't answer why if someone asks you, you just know it will be because God is standing so close by. And whenever there's trouble in our lives, it's amazing God keeps his promises. And even though we don't come to him as often as he would like, God still comes to us in our troubles because the Bible says he's a very present help in times of trouble. And so that's why when the problems come, God seems closest. But actually, if God has his way, then we get as close with him when the going is good. Because God has a blessing for our lives. And I think I've said enough this morning. But God has a blessing for our lives. And so this morning, perhaps the musicians will come and I'm going to ask us to bow our heads. And why do we bow our heads? It's not a religious thing. Certainly not. It's a respect thing. You know why it's a respect thing? Because you know, if I want to put my hand up in a gathering, I don't want you watching. It's between me and God. And it's so tempting, isn't it? Oh, we love to have a look around the congregation. What's going on? Who's having an encounter with God this morning? Mind your business. Wait for the testimony. God will tell you when he's ready. So let's bow our heads this morning. Let's just bow our heads. Let's just give each other the respects that we need to be able for God to come right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would descend. We've heard your message. We've heard your call. God, I pray that you would descend in this place by your Holy Spirit. Pray, Lord, that you would release the convicting, revelatory power of your Holy Spirit right now in this room. So I got two questions this morning. They're really simple because I'm simple. The first one is, if you've never accepted Jesus, if you've never chosen to become a Christian, and that's what it means to be a Christian, it's not coming to church, it's accepting Jesus, coming near to him. If you've never done that, then just while every head is bowed, while every eye is closed, If you would like to know this God who wants to come near to you, who wants to help you in life, if you want to do that this morning, then can you please raise your hand and I'll come and pray with you and we'll tell you the wonderful news about how God came down from heaven to make our lives better and give us an eternal hope. If that's you this morning, will you raise your hands just so I know while no one else is watching? And then the second question is simply this. This one gets a bit different now. Is there anybody in the house who wants to get nearer to God? If you want to get nearer to God this morning, I just invite you to come forwards and ask Dave to come and join me. And if you want to get nearer to God this morning, just come and out the front and we're going to pray with you and we trust that God's going to do something amazing in your lives. Come on forwards, we're going to pray this morning. Sorry, you just face the worship group. Yeah, just face the worship group. Come on forwards this morning. If you